Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge and arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The last time I gave a sermon on this text was 3 years ago at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Drake's Mills. At that time, everyone, it seemed, was talking about two things in everyday life: the high price of gas and the high prices at the grocery store. I began my sermon by asking for a show of hands to two questions. Who has noticed the high price of gas? And who has noticed high prices at the grocery store? And of course, almost everyone raised their hand. We still do. Then I suggested that I might walk down the center aisle, open the door, turn left, and shout out these same two questions, asking for a raise of hands. The congregation was well aware that I would be shouting out to the church cemetery. And obviously, I wouldn't get a single raised hand. That's because our blessed dead don't get angry or upset or concerned about high gas prices or the prices of inflation at the grocery store. The truth is, our blessed dead don't get angry or upset or concerned about anything. So death has a way of helping us to clarify the meaning of life. Death has a way of helping us to put things into perspective. And so Jesus tells a story, a parable that's really about life and death. Parable about a rich farmer with an abundant harvest. An abundant harvest, that's a good thing. The people in the crowd, it was a huge crowd, the people would have believed that this is a good farmer. This man is blessed by God with an abundant harvest. And then the farmer decided to build bigger barns, planning for the future, planning for retirement, using a common phrase of the day: eat, drink, and be merry. And again, the people in the crowd would have considered this farmer to be blessed by God, to be able to do those things. But the parable has a twist. It's a shocker. God enters in and calls the man a fool. Now, this parable always reminds me, brings me back to my seminary days. Because one day we learned the Hebrew word for fool, raca, R-A-C-A, raca. And from that day on, the day we learned that, we used to call each other raca whenever someone was doing something foolish. Raca. But why was this farmer raca? He was blessed by God with abundant harvest. He had a terrific business sense. Even being told that he would die. Why does that make him raca? Why does that make him fool? And Jesus asked, who will get all the things that you prepared for? Well, the answer might well be your children. Your children will be blessed by all that you have done in your life. So why raca? Why fool? It sounds as if there are abundant blessings. Let me put it this way. As believers, what's the first thing we do when we have an abundant harvest of anything? We pray. Thank you, Creator God, for all these blessings. What, as believers, do we do when we have decisions to make about the future? We pray. Holy God, send your Holy Spirit to help me to decide what to do with these blessings. That's what we do, we pray. And what do believers do when we plan for the well-being of our family, our children, our legacy? We pray. Redeemer God, protect my future. Protect my family. These are good prayers. But that's not how the rich farmer prayed. And this is Jesus' point. Jesus told us he thought to himself. Now, I translate that as being he prayed to himself. Listen to the number of times he refers to himself. I know what I should do. I'll pull down my barn. I'll build bigger barns. I'll store my harvest in my new barns. I'll say to my soul, relax. I'll eat. I'll drink. I'll be merry. This man is raca, a fool, because his God is not the God we know as Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity, say it with me, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. His God was what we call the unholy Trinity. Have you ever heard that term, the unholy Trinity? Do you know the three words for the unholy Trinity? I bet you do. You've heard them. Me, myself, and I. When one's life is centered on the unholy Trinity, when one's life is centered only on oneself, they are raca, fool. Jesus says that fools store up treasures for themselves. That's the point of his parable. This rich farmer is focused only on himself, only storing up treasures for himself. But they are not rich toward God. Rich toward God. That middle word, toward, is a directional word. Jesus is giving us a direction for our lives. Our lives, our belongings, our decisions, our future are all to be pointed in the direction of God, not into ourselves. We have a choice. Jesus is giving us a choice today. Be rich toward self or be rich toward God. The farmer in the story was not a fool because he was wealthy. He wasn't a fool because he planned for the future. He was a fool because his life was about himself, not about God. Because at some point in everybody's life, God's going to show up and say, remember me? The message today is don't forget God. Don't forget the things that God has given you. Almost every day I play various kinds of word games on my iPad. One of those games that comes up several times during the week is unscrambling letters to form a quotation. The quote this past Monday was this: measure your wealth by what you have left if you've lost all your money. In other words, a fool measures wealth by their money, by their possessions. Disciples of Jesus measure wealth by the love of God. What is left if the money were gone? Disciples of Jesus measure our wealth by the gifts and blessings that God has given us. As we heard in our second reading today from Colossians, set your mind on things that are above, not on things of the earth. That's our direction. God is our direction. There's a statement in the book of Proverbs: when you're generous, you grow richer. When we're rich toward God, when our direction is God, when our direction is toward God, God is always generous, loving, and forgiving. God makes us richer with the riches that matter. And then God directs us to be generous, loving, and forgiving. When we're rich toward God, God in turn blesses others through us. We become generous, loving, and forgiving. That's being rich toward God. I said earlier that the phrase eat, drink, and be merry was a common phrase in ancient days, and it's a well-known phrase even today. I'd like to suggest that we change that phrase to eat, drink, and be holy. Jesus didn't build bigger barns. He built a cross. He took up a cross to make us holy, to make us rich toward God. Now remember that Jesus refused to settle the dispute about the inheritance at the beginning of our gospel reading today. He refused because Jesus isn't our financial advisor. Jesus isn't our lawyer. Jesus isn't a civil court judge. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Redeemer, the one who makes us rich toward God. Let us pray. Think about all of your belongings, your wealth, your possessions, your people, your family, your friends. Think about all of the decisions that you have in your life. Think about your memories. Think about your future plans. And now imagine all of these things, every part of your life in this huge holy bubble. Place them all in this huge holy bubble. And then toss this bubble up toward God. And imagine God receiving every part of your life. And now listen to what God says to you when you toss to God your whole life. God says, I toss these back to you, blessed and holy. As I am holy, your life and everything about your life is now holy.